Douglas Mpuga sitting in for Sunny. Good evening, Douglas.
Good evening, Yahias.
So, what do you have for us on the sports menu for this evening?
Well, Yahias, we kick off with African football. Thanks. The 2015 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers resume Wednesday across the continent. All Wednesday's games are the reverse fixtures from last weekend. Algeria will qualify for the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations if they beat Malawi on Wednesday, while wins for Cameroon and South Africa will put them within touching distance. The Desert Foxes, Africa's top-ranked side, has won all three of their Group B games, two of which were away from home. And it's expected they will make maximum use of home advantage against Malawi to book their place at next year's finals in Morocco with two qualifiers to spare. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is African football guru David Legg. David, last weekend, matches had a lot of surprises and upsets.
Yes, Douglas, a lot of shocks. None bigger than in Khartoum. Sudan, who had not been impressive in their earlier games, defeating Nigeria by 1-0, a goal just before halftime. And this was no fluke. It was a deserved victory for the Sudanese, and it leaves Nigeria really battling now to qualify for the finals and defending their title. In the other match in Group A, a good win away for South Africa in Pointe Noire. It's ground where they've had problems in the past, but they dispatched of Congo Brazzaville by 2-0. Things ran pretty well according to form in Group B. The Algerians far too classy for Malawi and Blantyre and winning 2-0. And I'm afraid the downward trend of Ethiopia continues. They lost 2-0 at home to Mali. In Group C, a good win for Gabon over Burkina Faso, 2-0 in Libreville. Both goals coming from Aubameyang, the Borussia Dortmund striker. The other match in Group C, I pity those who had to watch it, an awful, boring, goalless draw between Lesotho and Angola. Mm. Certainly not one to classify as memorable. In Group D, a big surprise and a high five to Sierra Leone, who, despite all their problems, including having two coaches, one chosen by the sports ministry and one chosen by the Football Federation. Eventually, the Football Federation one was in charge, and he did very well, John Sesse. They got a goalless draw in what was technically a home match against Cameroon, but because of the ongoing Ebola crisis, the match had to be moved from Freetown to Yaoundé. Ivory Coast continued their revival. They won 2-1 in Kinshasa against a Democratic Republic of Congo. Wilfred Bonnet missing a penalty, but he also scored. And the winner came from Max Alain Gradel with 7 minutes left. On to Group E, and this one is fascinating, Douglas. Just 2 points between top side Ghana and bottom side Togo. Ghana led Guinea, but had to settle for a 1-1 draw in Casablanca. Another match moved because of the Ebola crisis. And a big surprise in Kampala, where Togo defeated the previously unbeaten Uganda by 1-0. Zambia continued to disappoint in their group. They could only draw 0-0 with Niger, while Cape Verde Islands suffered their first defeat, going down 2-0 away to Mozambique. And then Group G, commonly known as the Group of Death, Tunisia and Senegal cancelled each other out in Dakar in a goalless draw. Good defensive performance this by the Tunisians. And the Egyptians had a must-win match in Botswana, and that is exactly what they did. They won 2-0, second-half goals from El Nene and also from Salah from Chelsea in England, giving the Pharaohs 3 precious points. Douglas?
David, talking of these groups, let's start with Group A. Nigeria now seems to be at the bottom of the table in that group. And looking ahead to Wednesday's matches, what does Nigeria need to do to qualify in this group?
Well, Douglas, they've got a tough task. The way I see it, they've basically got to win their last three matches. It starts with Sudan and Abuja. Now, that's one they certainly should be able to win. Sudan have got a lot of spirit there, but they're a pretty limited side. And also, if you look at the African rankings, the Super Eagles are 6th and Sudan only 40. That's a 34-place gap. And really, one would expect the Super Eagles at home to succeed. And for South Africa, there's a big prize at stake when they entertain Congo Brazzaville and Polokwane a win for the South Africans will ensure they qualify, and that will be the first time they've done so since 2008. Sure, South Africa did play in 2013 in the finals, but that was only because they were the host nation. This, Douglas, has been a bizarre group in many ways. You've got Congo winning in Nigeria and then losing at home to South Africa. You've got Sudan getting hammered at home by South Africa and then defeating Nigeria. So predictions are really difficult. But for Nigeria, it's must win. Any other result, and I believe they can forget about the 2015 Cup of Nations, Douglas.
Yeah, another interesting group is Group E, where, as you mentioned earlier, any of the four can qualify.
That's right. Well, I was hoping Uganda could finally make it. You're well aware, I'm sure, that it's 1978 since Uganda last played at the Cup of Nations. And boy, oh boy, they've come close several times recently, most notably when they hosted Kenya. And they just needed a win by any margin to make the finals for the first time since 78, but they were held to a goalless draw. And this time, Uganda made a great start. They drew 1-1 in Ghana, and then they beat Guinea 2-0 at home, both goals coming from the South African-based striker, Jeffrey Massa. And if you had said to me, Douglas, last week, what is a banker for Saturday, I would have said a Ugandan home victory, for the simple reason that Uganda had been in form and Togo had been out of form. Togo had lost to both Guinea and to Ghana. But that's the beauty of football. Predictions just don't always work out. And now you've got a situation where Uganda have got to go to Lome, not an easy place to ever try and get a victory. And I think deep down, the Ugandan coach, Micho, will probably be happy if he can get a point from that one. I think the crucial thing for the Ugandans is to avoid defeat. Ghana, on the other hand, they've now got home advantage against the Guineans. And a Black Stars team that has not really been firing on all cylinders, just one win in three matches, they will be looking for maximum points. The way I see this group, Douglas, is I think Ghana will still emerge victorious. I think they'll come out on top. But who is going to finish second? That is a big question, with Uganda, Togo and Guinea all fighting for that runners-up slot and a place in the finals.
Moving to Group D, David, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Sierra Leone, DRC, tough group too.
Yes, but here, Douglas, interestingly, Cameroon and Ivory Coast can clinch the first two places if they both win on Wednesday. Cameroon face Sierra Leone again, and I feel they will have learned lessons from the goalless draw at the weekend, and one would fancy the indomitable Lions, particularly if those hot, informed strikers, Abubakar and Inje, can get among the goals. So a win for Cameroon would set up Ivory Coast to also qualify. That's assuming that the Ivory Coast follow up their away victory over the DR Congo by also beating them in Abidjan. So we could actually have finality after four rounds in Group D. We could have Cameroon and Ivory Coast filling the top two places. Douglas?
So yeah, we may see a few teams qualify by after winning these matches.
Well, that's right, Douglas. If I've done my mathematics right, we could actually have six qualifiers, and let me just quickly go through them for you. If Cameroon win and Ivory Coast win, they will definitely both qualify. A similar situation for South Africa. If they beat Congo, they will qualify. A similar situation for Algeria. They look a really classy outfit. If they beat Malawi at home, and surely they will do so, they will qualify. Then you get a couple of if, but, and maybe qualifiers. If Gabon can win away to Burkina Faso and Angola and Lesotho draw, then Gabon will definitely qualify. And then I think the most unlikely of the scenarios, Douglas, as we've just mentioned, is Senegal or Tunisia. If they win and Egypt lose, Senegal or Tunisia will qualify. But I don't really fancy the chances of Botswana in Cairo against the Pharaohs. So theoretically, we could have six qualifiers, and they, of course, would join the current host nation, Morocco.
Thanks, David. That's our classy African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Still in Johannesburg, here is Daybreak Africa's Mark Ouma with more sports news.
Morocco remains the venue for the 2015 Orange Africa Cup of Nations, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, reiterated in Cairo, Egypt on Monday. CAF is responding to a request by the Morocco Youth and Sports Ministry that the tournament scheduled from the 17th January to the 8th of February next year be postponed owing to the Ebola virus disease currently ravaging the Mano River region in West Africa. CAF points out that they have taken necessary precautions in the ongoing Nations Cup qualifiers based on the expert advice from the World Health Organization. The CAF Executive Committee is to discuss Morocco's request at their meeting in the Algerian capital Algiers on the 2nd of November before engaging the Moroccan authorities the following day in Rabat. Meanwhile, Morocco beat Kenya 3-0 in a friendly match played in Marrakesh on Monday. Earlier on, Tanzania dismissed Benin 4-1 in Dar es Salaam. In Namibia, after a day's rest, Zambia challenged Nigeria before Namibia encounter Ivory Coast at the Telecom Namibia Mobile African Women's Championships at the Sam Nujoma Stadium in Katutura Township, Windhoek, today, Tuesday. In rugby news, South Africa placed fourth overall after their 19-0 loss to England at the IRB Sevens tournament in Gold Coast, Australia on Sunday. Canada dismissed Kenya 40-7 in the final of the Shield contest. Turning to athletics, Kenya's Joyce Chepkurui and Emily Chebet were locked in a photo finish in the women's 10 kilometers at the ASICS Grand 10 kilometers in Berlin, Germany on Sunday. Although both athletes were credited with an identical time of 31 minutes and 2 seconds, Chepkurui was crowned the winner. In the men's race, Ethiopian Kinde Atenau triumphed in 27 minutes and 49 seconds. Elsewhere, Ethiopian Tilahun Regasa clocked 2 hours 6 minutes and 21 seconds to win the Eindhoven Marathon in the Netherlands on Sunday, while his compatriot Mukhtar Edris was timed 28 minutes and 52 seconds when he prevailed at the Giro International di Trento 10-kilometer run in northern Italy on Sunday.
Thanks, Mark. And that report by Daybreak Africa's Mark Owoma in Johannesburg brings us to the end of tonight's edition.